Campus FM presents The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers. Welcome to The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guests this week are sisters Natalie and Rochelle Mouchon, who are actually studying here at the University of Malta. Natalie's studying dance. So tell us a bit more about dance and your organisation Step Up for Parkinson's.
Well, dance obviously is one of my biggest passions in life. I've been dancing since I was five, and I studied the first time in 2003. And after working professionally as a dance and choreographer, I decided to go back, finishing a degree in dance studies, to go more into academic field and research. And Step Up for Parkinson's is a volunteer organization which I run together with my sister, Rochelle. And it's Step Up for Parkinson's is an organization in which we help people with Parkinson's disease in Malta through dance classes, which, yeah.
How does that work? How do you teach people with Parkinson's to dance, and how does it help them?
Dance helps because it's proven through case studies over the years that it helps the quality of life, the balance, and the motorique. One of the main factors for people with Parkinson's is depression and isolation from the whole world.
Okay.
People always think about Parkinson's as Alzheimer's, that you forget your memory. However, with Parkinson's, that's the only thing that stays. With Parkinson's, you can't initiate movement anymore, which means that you can't move, grab a coffee, you have either a tremor, you lose your facial expressions, you lose your speech eventually, so you're stuck in your own brain. So your brain is functioning normal, but you can't hug your child, you start either shaking, you freeze during walking, so you're really embarrassed. A lot of people are embarrassed about the disease, and the biggest problem is not a lot of people know what Parkinson's exactly is. Now, how does dance come in? For the last 15 years in America, they started doing dance for Parkinson's, and they've done certain case studies in America and in England, and they actually build up a whole way of doing a class specialized with Parkinson's. So you start on the chair, and then you slowly build up, and every exercise is completely made for people with Parkinson's. So, yeah.
So how did you discover that you're studying dance studies here at the University of Malta? How on earth did you get onto? How did you find this video? How did it become something for you?
Actually, Francesca Tanto, one of our great teachers at university, she posted one of these videos, and I saw it, so I clicked on the video, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. Also, we had seen a decline and a loss of a family member with Parkinson's in our family, so we weren't really completely unaware of what Parkinson's is. And our aunt, she walked a pilgrimage from Amsterdam to Rome in 2010, and she raised €13,100 for the Dutch Parkinson's Foundation and wrote a book about it. So it was not completely new to us. But when I saw that video, I thought, the reason why I went back to school is because I want to help people through dance. I believe I want to help people anyway. I think that's one of my abilities, to see how I can help and guide people through life. And dance is one of the mediums I want to do this with. And seeing that video was just overwhelmingly heartbreaking, that I just said, this is what I'm going to do.
So you discovered the link from the video, so you could see that there were this method available, and you decided to use that in your studies?
No, I did research. I spoke to Professor Butterworth from the dance department. She now is my mentor for my thesis. And I just dedicated all my assignments to Parkinson's, anything that I could do at school. I did a lot of research, and then I contacted the MPDA in Malta.
What's the MPDA?
It's the Malta Parkinson's Disease Association.
Okay.
And I said, guys, listen, I want to help you. I want to do classes for people with Parkinson's. And they basically helped me to fund a flight to the university in England at Plymouth. And I did a course specialized to teach dance for people with Parkinson's, and that was done by People Dancing UK and Dance for PD from America.
So, okay. Yeah. So tell us a bit actually about the movements and how you get people, like I said, if they struggle to reach for a coffee, How do you get them to dance? What are the motivators?
Well, the thing is, it's actually really fun. But no, because you come with your partner or your loved one, so they have an interaction together. So instead of someone being the carer and always looking after you, you're suddenly dancing together.
Fantastic.
So it's extremely fun. Music is a very big medium that we use, different kind of styles of music and different kind of styles of dancing.
Okay.
So we start sitting on the chair, we warm up slowly our upper body, and we start with breathing. Because a lot of people with Parkinson's disease suffer a lot from anxiety because you're stuck in your brain and you can't control your body anymore. This creates anxiety, so a wrong breathing pattern. So what I do first thing in the class is get them to calm down,
okay,
to breathe. And then we start warming up the upper body, the feet, and then we slowly go standing, and then we go to the bar, okay, and we do pliés and tendus, as we call
that
in
bar.
Ballet.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay, so you go to the dance bar.
Yes,
sorry.
To the dance bar. That bar we go afterwards. So we go to the ballet bar, excuse me, and we work on, in ballet you call it tendus and pliés. We can just call it bending and stretching of the knees and weight shifting. So they learn how to weight shift and they okay, strengthen their muscles in their legs. And then afterwards we do a tango, for example, together.
Mm-hmm.
So they dance together. And this is the rhythm of the tango. So they really learn how to count. Bam, 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 bam. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they learn how to step. So when, for example, they use the rhythm of the music in daily life. So if they're walking and they freeze, they go one, two, three.
Okay.
One, two, three. So they learn constantly methods how to cope with their disease through daily life. And we do mirroring exercises, because if I sit in front of you, it's called mirroring. So if
okay,
I reach out my right hand, you do the same.
Yeah.
So someone with Parkinson's can't initiate that movement.
Okay.
But if I look at you,
it's like a remote control,
exactly,
almost.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So if I say to someone with Parkinson's, okay, make sure that your feet are parallel underneath you, they have to look at their feet. As myself,
yes,
as a dancer, I can feel my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I know where they are. And so we learn them these kind of methods to cope with their disease.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's just fun. They gain confidence. They have interaction. They have an outing. They work on their on everything, on their balance, their motorik, on their everything.
And just like you say, having fun with your partner,
yeah,
actually must take away some of the stress and the anxiety that your Parkinson's is causing you.
Exactly, exactly. And I obviously had a questionnaire before and after the 10-week pilot study that
mm-hmm,
we did in Malta, and they all said that they were waiting from Monday. They couldn't wait until it was Friday.
Oh.
And I could see it. I could see them, you know, changing, being more happy, smiling, knowing the routines, practicing rhythms, because counting is very good as well.
Okay.
So we do some rhythms. It's really, 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 really good work.
And it sounds like the kind of thing where homework would actually be fun.
Yes.
Because you're sort of tangoing,
yes,
around your kitchen.
Yes, of course. The thing is, like, when you have Parkinson's, a lot of things change for you. You can't on your own go swimming. You can't do a lot of things. And also, Parkinson's is not just for older people. The youngest person in Malta is 28.
Wow.
So, okay. And for example, in Holland, there is Mark Flemix. I'm not sure if you heard about him.
No.
He is a young man who was diagnosed with Parkinson's at 37. And now, 7 years later, he has one of the biggest organizations called Dance for Health in Holland. And he gives, in 11 locations in Holland, they give dance for people with Parkinson's, Rheuma, and MS. And I just met him last week. And he's a very inspirational man. He started dancing, and he and his partner said, if Mark dances, and he dances every day, I have no problem, because he's okay.
Mm.
And, you know, so it really, really, it's very... That the dancing just helps. I think everyone should dance.
Me too, actually.
Everyone should dance, you know? It's like you just express yourself. You're able to express yourself through music, through emotion. Your emotions you can move out through movement. The music takes you on a journey. You are laughing in the class, and you are working out. So,
So you're saying you're sort of dedicated your assignments to Parkinson's
mm-hmm.
research, essentially.
Yeah.
What elements are you putting into your studies? How are you How are you writing it down? Is it, what research are you doing to?
So right now, actually, I'm my dissertation is going to be about how can dance help people with Parkinson's express emotions. Okay. Because as I just explained, it's for them impossible to express any emotions, because if your facial expression stops, you want to smile when your grandchild walks in, but you can't. So with music and movement, we can create a story. And so basically this is now at the moment my point of study. And I have met a few very interesting people in Holland. Anne-Marie, she's one of the people who actually makes the courses in Holland. She teaches the people for dance for Parkinson's with Mark. And she's an ex-ballerina of the Scapino Ballet and Intro Dance. And so I have a lot of people who are helping me with this subject and giving me advice. And I can interview about this.
So is Parkinson's quite prevalent in Malta? Are there a number of people that suffer?
Yes. We have registered 1,400 people.
Wow.
Yes, but that's registered. I think a lot of people don't register. A lot of people don't know about the Malta Parkinson's Association. Okay. Unfortunately, they've been there for quite a while, but they don't have a lot of members. So this is where I want to help. My job is what I want to do. It's not my job. Because this is actually all, you know, I wake up with a smile doing this. I want to help them create more awareness so more people join them, more people can try out these dance classes, more people have more interaction with other people instead of being isolated at home, being embarrassed.
So do you still run the classes now? Because you said you'd done a 10-week pilot. Yep. Is that something that's still ongoing?
Yes. Well, we had to stop. Our last class was done in August. Okay. And then in September, October, November, I had to work on a dance tour with the university in the UK, so I had no time to do anything else. And we are waiting for funding. Before, they had to pay a very small amount for the dance classes. However, when we did a free class in Orme, we had tripled the people.
Okay.
So I really want to, I will give these classes for free. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for funding from the government.
Okay. And then you'd be able to run more than one set
yes.
of classes?
No, the idea would be to have a fixed location, but I also would like to very much go to two different or three different locations in Malta. When you have Parkinson's, it's not so easy to travel. So I think it would be more easy for me to be more mobile and go to certain locations during the week.
Do two or three?
Yes,
you know,
exactly. That's the plan.
North, Midland, South,
yes.
And these classes, so they would last how long? About an hour and a half? Something
an hour
like
and
that?
A half. The case studies have proven that if you do 1.5 hour classes twice a week within 10 weeks, you have quality of life improved, balance, motoric, cardiovascular, obviously, because you're working on certain.
Moving, yeah. And you said you were able to teach people almost the rhythm that they can calm themselves and get themselves moving again so they can get past the freeze.
Exactly. Past the freeze. When you're free, exactly. Past the freeze or what to do when they are actually shaking, because that happens sometimes as well. And also, overall, it gives them confidence.
And I'm guessing as well, it also teaches your partner that they can step in and do maybe the mirroring exercises
exactly.
or something
yes.
with you.
And I think one of the most important things is that they have so much fun together and it becomes the normal relationship again. Mm-hmm. Because it's very hard for people to understand, even for me, how it is to have Parkinson's, how it is to not be able to do, move, think, but talk, and how to react constantly, mm-hmm. being stuck in your own brain. So dance is a very good method how to be able to express and to move and to have an expression of that feeling and anxiety that you have.
And do you teach different dances? So I'm just imagining you talking earlier about not being able to smile at your grandchild. So are there particular dances potentially that you could do, teach for them to have with children versus their partner, so that they can maybe scoop up their grandchild and dance around with them? Is there different elements there as well, so the child knows, you know, Nanu is quite fun actually. He's not just standing in the corner. So is there a way?
Yes, actually, it's really funny you're mentioning this. We teach in a class different choreography. Sometimes you do something from. We did The Phantom of the Opera, then we did something of Grease,
wow.
then we do something of the Nutcracker, you know, so they have a little bit of we give them a little bit of information about the dance world mm-hmm. as well. And for the final choreography this year, which is part of my studies, I'm going to use people with Parkinson's, mm-hmm. Dancers and children.
Okay.
So you see the element of time, and at the same time, to have that interaction, as you just mentioned.
Okay.
So if there are grandchildren who want to join and dance with their grandparents, that's completely possible. But this is something that, will happen very soon.
By the end of the summer, I'm guessing.
Well, yes, the performance would be in May, so soon I will be starting the rehearsals.
Do you have a location for that so that we can sort of look out
yes,
for it?
Yes, actually. The location is, the performance would be in the MCDA Junior College.
Okay, perfect. We'll look out for it.
Yeah.
So you actually been working with your sister on this project as
yes.
well. Obviously, you're the dancer, and I know Rachel actually works within the startup environment.
I'm just the entertainment.
But how did you come together as sisters, and from two different walks? In fact, you being a startup entrepreneur type person,
yes.
and you being the dancer. How did you discover this would actually become
how do
a
this?
Business?
One day we woke up. No.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think we've always been like bouncing ideas on each other and feeding each other and being creative together. So I think this was a very natural
way
to go. Yeah.
And she can do a lot of things that I can't do, and vice versa. So I think
so
our
she
talents,
doesn't high kick like you do.
I can't dance. That's the thing.
No,
I can't
she can. We actually started. We did dance together when we were younger. But she has a lot of talents and things I'm really not good at. And I think you come at a certain age in life when you say, okay, let's focus on the good things that I can do and excel in these and just start.
Be nice to my sister so she can do the hard stuff.
Exactly.
But then there's other things, you know, so and it's really nice working together.
No, and I understand how her brain works because she's very creative and very fast, as you mm-hmm. know. But I can translate it to something business so that she and I can help her through that. And it's amazing to work with her. I've seen people cry, you know, because of her, not in a bad way, but being so happy and so grateful, mm-hmm. you know. I remember back in Plaza TV, the same. We've always been working together.
So what is your role? Do you do the sort of the web aspect and the management of Natalie and just keeping her feet
I've
on the ground?
I built the website.
Yeah.
I'm doing the marketing, social media. If she needs a nutritionist, I'll be there.
Yes, no. And she helps, like, obviously she has a master's in entrepreneurship, so yeah. the whole business side is obviously
on that side of
Rachel.
Yeah.
And so she can, I have the ideas and how I want to do it, and then I throw numbers, and then Rachel can make it all into a clean idea and say, okay, but we need a time frame, we need to do this, we need to do that, these kind of things.
So we've talked about Parkinson's and dance and your step up for Parkinson's organisation. What actually is Parkinson's? You've told us what the symptoms are, but how does it happen to you? What is it? How does it occur to somebody?
It's a neurodegenerative disease, and we don't really know how it occurs.
Okay.
You can't say it's in your genes. It's a lack of dopamine in the brain.
Okay.
But it's not something that you can say, oh, because you've been working as a footballer American footballer, and you hit your head so many times. There's nothing that you can say about it.
Okay.
It's pretty scary. I mean.
And are there any sort of signs that we should look out for in our partners, loved ones, whatever, that you can start to see, I think I ought to take you to see someone?
It starts, for example, when they don't smell and taste very well.
Okay.
You can see it in their posture. Sometimes they start hunching a little bit more.
Okay.
And when how they walk, that one side is a little bit off balance than the other side.
Okay.
Because they don't, there's little things they wouldn't realize. And obviously there's a tremor, but not with all of them, you know?
That's so the idea that everyone has.
Everyone thinks that they're shaking all the time.
That's the sort of natural.
No.
It's much more than just a shake.
It's much more than just a shake, yeah.
And at that point, if you do start to notice some of these symptoms, it's normal GP that you would go to
Yes.
And the sooner the better.
The sooner the better. Like, if, for example, to use Mark Flemix as an example, he was 37 and 7 years later, and I met him, and I was like, wow. He's in such a good shape. Mm-hmm. 7 years, you know.
So is it something that can be reversed?
No.
You can slow it down if you're in time.
Okay.
Kind of.
A bit, yes.
Yeah. And that's by doing things like this?
Dance.
Yes.
But also, I think, regular therapy as well.
Yes, a regular therapy, and also a good combination of the right medication and the dance. Because that's something in the future that I think should be what I would like to do more research on, is to combine the right medication on the right time with the dance therapy.
Okay.
So you know, because you have a right balance, But if you look at any disease, if you if you find out that you have any disease there is, for example, a certain cancer let's say cancer, you can either sit down and say,
oops,
this is it,
yeah,
and get, you know, and
give up,
or be, or, you know, I had something myself, not that heavy, but it was something with my own health. And I said, okay, what am I going to do right now? Am I going to just sit down or give up? And I just said, no. And I, every day, started training. Every day I did mindfulness, yoga, meditation. And I just made myself believe that I could heal myself. And I think with everyone, I mean, you have to just look at the bright side and not at the bad side. There's always a way.
That's it, because you hear something like Parkinson's and it's so frightening.
It is.
Yes.
But actually knowing that there's people like you doing something that sounds quite fun.
Point. If there's more awareness, people will, more and more people will know of this, and then there will be this social thing three times a week with Natalie, where they meet other patients with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And after 10 weeks, their quality of life starts to improve. And I think it's amazing.
Yes. Oh. And also, which just said triggers something else. It's also nice for the loved ones and family members to meet other people have a coffee and say, how do you do this?
In a different environment than a hospital.
Yes.
Because that's what they do. Their whole life is like meeting doctors, going from appointment to appointment to appointment. And now they go somewhere with music and fun.
And you can just sort of probably kick back and relax a bit, that there's other people in your situation, that you all know what you're going through. You don't have to explain anything.
No, you're just completely accepted the way you are. And there's nothing. It's just you. And also you can explore dance. Some people have never danced in their life before or do a dance class. And so you're suddenly doing something with music. And sometimes we have live music that is extremely, extremely interesting. And you learn to be kind of creative and artistic with your own body.
And that gives them actually another thing to think about, like I said, if they can't express themselves elsewise.
Yes.
They've actually got something else new to think about instead of their sort of paranoia and their situation.
Yeah.
So how many people do you look to have in a class? I'm just trying to work out how we can help you make this viable.
So basically, I always do the class together with Amy Demek, a physiotherapist and ballet teacher. And you always have to be two in a class, two teachers, because obviously for trip hazards and things, you know, people practice can fall. That's one of the main things that is. So if we're, for example, if we're two teachers, then we have a maximum of, say, 20, 25 people.
Okay.
So that would be...
That's 25 couples or 25
people. So that means 12...
10 to 12
Yeah, 10 to 12 patients with their loved ones. Yes. That would be a max. Yes, yes, yes.
And so then you need, obviously, somewhere... That size, do you need a big type of hall to be able to dance, like a tango square, you go round and round, or is it something?
Preferably, obviously, with a good floor, but we're not going to be jumping as much. It's not like we're doing a ballet class, but preferably with ballet bars and mirrors. Mirrors is not really necessary, to be fair, but something with bars, which is accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So parking, walking, elevator, toilets. Those are the most important things. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make a room nice. You can get chairs, and have to be chairs, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the most important thing is, and for them, is how to get there and how to get from the car
to the room.
To the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what sort of funding is required to run this type of thing outside of the hall? Is there any other equipment you need? I'm guessing music licenses, that type of thing?
Music licensing you have to pay.
Yes.
The usual company stuff, of
the
course.
The company stuff, yeah. Yes, and the ballet. For example, we want to make movable ballet bars, so we can take them constantly with us.
I was going to say, yes, it would be good if you had to change locations.
Exactly. Little things like speakers to take with you. So you're completely... you can travel constantly with your stuff.
So the room could be not a dance hall per se. It could be a hall.
Like, for example, we gave a class in Army at the council, the local council, which is perfect. You know, it was really nice. I mean, the room was almost too small because you had so many people. it was one of the free classes. So that's fine, you know. Actually, a bar would not be very necessary if you do it a few times. But if you want to continue doing something good, it's nicer to have a bar.
Okay.
Because you can really work on those. It's a safe way to hold the bar and work on weight shifting. Because if you stand behind a chair and you use your chair,
I was just thinking.
You know, so the bar is really to have that stability.
And also make you know that you're in a dance class. There must be something about that psychologically that gives you more confidence that you're in a proper, dance.
Takes your mind away from whatever, the hustle and bustle of everyday life.
Yes.
And so you say these classes you should do twice a week for 10 weeks minimum, and that starts to enhance.
Yes.
Okay. Starts. And you'd be looking to do this, I just want everybody to get up and do something about it.
Thank you.
Everyone listen.
Do two or three different locations. There's not a concentration of people suffering. There's not...
No, it's spread.
It's not something we can say.
And obviously I want to reach everybody. I want to reach the English, the multi-speaking. I want this to be for free because people with Parkinson's have to stop working, and so there are people who wouldn't have the money to do these classes. And I think if this is proven to be to improve the quality of life of people with Parkinson's, this should be for free.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very determined. We are very determined
to make this happen.
So how can our listeners help you? So the organisation is Step Up for Parkinson's.
Yes.
Website address?
Yeah.
NatalieMusham.com.
Okay, let's spell that out for everyone, please.
Okay, so it's Natalie, NATALIE, and then my surname, Musham, MUSCHAMP.com.
Exactly, and on this website you can find all the information and even contact details.
Yes.
So everything that will happen with lessons and when we start again, that will be on there, and I think it's easy for people then to contact her directly. And questions.
And if we don't go to your website, you're actually based at the Takeoff Business Incubator here at the University of Malta as well.
Yes, I have an office on the second floor, a room number 302, at the Takeoff building. Yeah.
So fantastic. So we can find you quite easily.
Yes.
So thank you very, very much. That's Natalie and Rachel Mouchon, who just joined me talking about an organisation called Step Up for Parkinson's on this week's The Probe. Thank you very much for listening.
You have just listened to The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.